Did you know that the equivalent of a garbage truck's worth of plastic is dumped in the ocean every minute? 17.6 billion pounds every year. Seabirds are dying after mistakenly eating it. I'm actor Sam Waterston, and I don't want to pollute our oceans every time I buy my groceries, go out to eat, or purchase a beverage. You deserve a plastic-free choice. Join the campaign. Go to oceana.org/plastics today.
To take this station with you wherever you go, download the radio.com app today and listen to this station and over 300 other stations. With the radio.com app, you can favorite your top stations for easy access and receive alerts with breaking news, contest opportunities, and more. To favorite a station, just click on the heart icon in the upper left-hand corner of your favorite station's logo. Go to your app store or radio.com/download and start listening today. Radio.com.
Hi, this is Jim Miller, and Origins is back.
I said to Cameron, I'm like, this doesn't come around very often, and I want to be in this movie.
Chapter 6, Almost Famous turns 20.
I am a golden god!
You made friends with them.
Well, it was fun.
Because they make you feel cool.
To celebrate Almost Famous' 20th anniversary, we've managed to put the band back together again, including the director and writer of the film, Cameron Crowe himself. Plus, Kate Hudson, Frances McDormand, Billy Crudup, Jason Lee, Patrick Fugit, Zooey Deschanel, Jimmy Fallon, rock stars Peter Frampton and Nancy Wilson, and more.
It's what it's like to be a fan, to love some band so much that it hurts.
Join me as it all unfolds with Origins Chapter 6, Almost Famous Turns 20. Subscribe now on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your shows.
Lawrence Holmes here. Check out my podcast, LoHo Daily. I record it every day before or after the show. And here's what it is. It's me doing stuff that I can't get to on the show. Sports stuff, geek stuff, whatever's on my mind that day. I get a long form way to do it.
And I'm glad that the Bears are out here trying to make these kickers earn their jobs.
Check out LoHo Daily. Download the latest episode now from the radio.com app or online at 670thescore.com.
More Dan Bernstein on the way in 60 seconds on The Score.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
Charles Peanut Tillman.
I know a ton of law enforcement officers, a ton, not a few, I know a ton, that do their job and they do it the right way. And a lot of them are federal, a lot of them are local, some of them are state. They do their job the right way. And I'm not saying that all police and then no, I'm not, that is not what I'm saying. I'm just saying the ones that I've had a chance to be around and I know they do their job the right way. And I'm very grateful for that. I'm grateful for them and for what they do and for them risking their necks, keeping me safe at night. I'm very grateful for them and for what they have done.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
More. This portion of Sports Radio 670 is brought to you by Door Systems, now offering touch-free doors. Call 1-800-THE-DOOR.
This is the home of the first place Chicago Cubs. Listen to every game here.
Deep fly ball to left. This ball's got a chance. Long gone. Tape measure time for Wilson Contreras.
Live from the Hyundai Studios, this is 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
The Dan Bernstein Show, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Over to the boards, the old turnaround shot, missed it, and Hawks win! The Chicago Blackhawks, with two late third period goals, overcome a deficit and take a 2-1 lead in the series. Wow!
Yeah, I mean, a 5-game series
Definitely different, but you always know in a seven-game series, games three and four are the toughest ones to close out. But we've had some experience in the past knowing how to play and how to prepare for those big games. And Ole over here has a lot of experience of his own of closing out series and being in those situations. So it's having that killer instinct. But like you said, knowing that, you know, every game this series has gotten tougher. It's going to be the toughest game coming up. I think the best players played well and capitalized for them. But we can expect a much better team game and for them to improve as we go along.
NBC Sports Chicago with the highlights. Jonathan Toews in the post game. Ole over there may have a lot of experience, but he can't skate. Just getting the same area code as McJesus or Dreisaitl every once in a while. It, what's weird is that we always have these keys to the game, and you got to stop this line. You got to stop these guys. They didn't, and they still won the game. Pretty cool stuff. Our next guest breaks down hockey like few others around. Scott Powers, who can be found on Twitter at @ByScottPowers. He of The Athletic joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. How are you, Scott?
Good, Dan. How are you?
Good. I love that piece on the first goal from Game 2, because that's sort of teaching hockey on a level that we often don't hear, and people fall back onto the same tropes of effort and energy and jump and say, look, no, had they told him where to put the puck, they might not have been down 1-0 in that game.
Yeah, you know, for me, I 7 years ago when ESPN put me in a cover of hockey, I didn't know anything about the sport, and I've had to learn a lot, and I think it's a difficult sport to learn. Growing up in Chicago, it was, we didn't play hockey, we didn't think hockey, and, being thrown out in the sport, it took a long time to learn. So, even for me, it's a learning process. So doing those type of stories, I couldn't even done a couple of years ago, and even there were parts of that story that I think I missed, and just how Boquist played it. So it's, I enjoy doing those kind of pieces and hopefully continue to evolve as a reporter and give more of that stuff out there.
No, I agree with you, because I didn't grow up knowing anything about it. All I knew is I would listen to Pat Foley on the radio, and I'd play floor hockey in the basement, and I knew people got excited when they scored, and because I never really played. And then for me, it was seeing it at the youth level and seeing it taught from mites to squirts to peewees to bantams and all the way up through. Everything gets a little bit faster, but the principles don't change. And when they're small and there's so much open ice, you can watch the same things happening. And then at the NHL level, you see it all just happening. So at such a breakneck speed where everybody's so huge, it still doesn't change what everybody is trying to do. And it's been immensely helpful. The only problem I have is how many hockey coaches and players don't really like talking hockey, if that makes any sense.
And part of it I found is just asking the right questions. Like, I think a guy like Duncan Keith, who I don't know if he loves this as media in general, but he loves talking hockey. And I think if you come with the right question, that it opens them up to different questions, it allows them to expand on things. And part of it is they deal with same questions about momentum and all this. It's a lot of it's cliched, and I think they're bored with it too. So, some guys are pretty good about it. I mean, one of the stories I had probably the most fun doing this past season was, recording every drill they did during practice and then going to players and asking why they did this. And a guy like Slater Cuckoo was amazing about it, where he really explained what this drill was intended to do and how it fits their game plan. Just that type of stuff. I think it's coming out with them with different questions that are very specific about what they're doing, because it does deal with a lot of generalities in the sport.
It was an old-fashioned Blackhawks exciting playoff win last night. That really felt like old times. You get an outstanding performance from Corey Crawford, and everything builds out from there. There were some struggles in the power play and some issues defensively, but when all was said and done, by the time that the clock was done, they had won a playoff game in exciting fashion, thanks to Jonathan Toews being absolutely brilliant. It was I remember when the Hawks were fun like that.
Yeah, they played. It's never going to be a perfect game against the Oilers, right? Like, they're going to make you look stupid at times. And they have, the best player in the world and another one that's pretty close. But I thought at 5-on-5, they played really well. Like, they slowed them a little bit down from last game. Some of the numbers are a little, they don't look great, but, you go back and watch. Crawford made a few big saves. I went back this morning, I was watching the third period. The Oilers didn't have a lot of, grade A chances. Ultimately, the two goals the Oilers scored even in 5-on-5 was, you know, two turnovers by the fourth line in the defensive zone. And I thought even the fourth line, obviously they come up with a big goal later with Highmore, but I thought they contained McDavid. You know, I also thought the last change was sort of important for Colleton, where he wasn't necessarily matching them up as much as you thought they would, but, you know, it was a pretty good four-line rotation. But he was also kind of sheltering some guys. You know, Strome barely saw McDavid. Boquist didn't play the last 6:30, and, you know, Boquist had a rebound game. But when it came down to it, I think Colleton understood, you know, I need to have, you know, Keith and Murphy out there. And you saw some of those more defensive guys, and even as they're looking for a goal, that he doesn't want to expose Boquist into in a tough situation. So I thought some of that played out too, where, you know, the Colleton, you know, even going back with that Kane line, you know, with Doc and, you know, maybe going, everyone kind of thought he'd go back to what worked in game one, but, you know, he saw so much out of DeBrincat and Doc and Kane in last game that he went back with it. And Doc played 23 minutes. I mean, that's 3 minutes more than Doc's played the entire season. So it really speaks to how much trust he has in him at this point of the year.
He's going to be a star. Doc is doing things at a very young age. I mean, he could be playing high school right now. And the fact that he's out there with grown men learning to assert himself, it tells me that the game is slowing down for him. And I'm not going to set a ceiling on that kid, because there's a lot that he can do.
Yeah, even that play last night where he takes the pucks in that and he kind of goes flying through the air where he trips the goalie. It's stuff that I think a year or two from now, he completes that. You know, he's a little bit stronger, a little bit more experienced, but you see enough, especially defensively now, where, you know, they're giving him, he saw a lot of time against Dreisaitl and McDavid last night. And, you know, there's that trust. And I think this is a line that they, you know, when Strome was out there with DeBrincat and Kane, like there's a little bit of a liability there. Doc just brings a little bit more security to the defensive line. Makes them a little bit more defensive. And this could be the line of the future where even DeBrincat, you know, as much as he's a scorer, I think he's developed as a passer. And, you know, him and Kane can play off each other. And I know Kane likes playing to DeBrincat. You know, he took him to that he has that camp before the season with Daryl Belfry. And they work together and work on a lot of plays. And I think Kane really likes playing with DeBrincat. So this is a line I think you could see many years going forward. And you can only expect more from Doc, but the fact that he's been defensively so sound, and now that you got him on a penalty kill and he's playing in the top unit in the power play where he's a net front guy, I think he's evolved even this year more than the Blackhawks could have expected.
How would you tinker with an underperforming power play?
I wonder if it's, you know, the Oilers are really good on the penalty kill. I mean, they were, you know, one of the top five teams, so you got to give them some credit. I thought they were doing some good things even at times throughout the series where they're getting more shots through. I thought Doc's been pretty good. You know, the bumper roll is really hard where Kubalik's in, where sometimes that guy can get lost. But it seemed like, you know, especially in game one where he was roaming a little bit more, where he's even stepping outside of the wings and getting some shots and creating some opportunities. So I think the more that you can get the puck into Kubalik and try to get him involved, where it's not just sitting on the half wall against with Kane and kind of looking to make something happen. I mean, there's enough skill out there, and I feel like they've had some decent chances, but it certainly hasn't looked like what it did in that first game. So I think it's playing a little bit faster even, and then trying to getting Kubalik involved, because he made a lot of those plays happen in that first game, and he just hasn't had as much of a presence these last two after having 5 points in that first game. And then, you know, I can only think of a couple of handful of chances he's even had in the last two.
Have you ever asked Colleton why on the kill he defaults to a box instead of a diamond formation?
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know if we've ever asked him that, but I think with, I mean, we've seen some variations even with Quinville, how they use the diamond and and part of it's maybe just his personnel. I know the power of the penalty kills improved from where it was last year. And I think, you know, Carpenter and Camp and some of those guys have really stepped it up. And you know, this was a penalty kill that was among, you know, the worst ever last year. I mean, you could, you know, just historically the penalty kill was awful last season, but it's not something I've asked, but yeah, maybe that's a good question to ask here going forward too, just why they do some things on the penalty kill as they do.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, maybe personal preference or maybe it's personnel and, you know, just figuring out who can do what well. How do you solve the problem of Ole Mata in that, yeah, he's got playoff experience and he's smart, but sometimes he just can't get to where his brain knows he should be?
Yeah, it's weird because he's accounted for some of the goals. He's been on the ice for, he's helped create some of the goals, and he's certainly been on the reason for some goals against. I don't know if there's really much they can do. I mean, he's not about to gain any foot speed here in his career, and the Oilers certainly can make people look bad. And I'm interested to see this offseason because the Blackhawks are really going to be up against it against the Cap again. And on paper, it would seem to make sense to buy out Zach Smith and Ole Mata, just kind of free up some money. And certainly when you guys have when they have Ian Mitchell coming in and Lucas Carlson, some prospects that are, especially Mitchell, you know, kind of creating some space and kind of not knowing what the future of Brent Seabrook is too, that I wouldn't be surprised if Mata is bought out for the season. But, you know, at the same point, you know, when he obviously, it takes him a minute to get where he's going, but he does have the experience in there. You know, defensively at times, you know, he's still pretty good, and it's just a matter of him getting caught flat-footed. So, I don't know if there's really much you can do there. You kind of live with some of that with him.
As we let you go, what would a series victory mean?
I think it's the experience, right? Like it's regardless of how far they go this year, it's getting Doc this time, Boqvist, and you look at as many guys as they have on entry level contracts, and this is the future. They may not win a cup this year, but the hope for the Blackhawks has got to mean that this season means that they can win a cup in the future, right? Like the experience is going to build to something, and I think it's about building right now. And you have so many young guys, and just I think a game like last night is just so valuable for Doc and just his development. So I know some people are holding out hope that the Blackhawks lost this series and maybe they land the number one pick, but you know, odds weren't great with that still. But I think also at the end game, when you look at, you know, the Blackhawks are still going to try to win in this window as long as you have Kane and Taves and Keith, you know, still playing at a decently high level. I think the fact that you have guys like Doc and Boqvist getting this experience, and even DeBrincat, I mean, this is his first playoff experience. I think those are all just key parts of the building towards something in the next couple of years.
Scott Powers, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Shit, thanks, Dan.
That is Scott Powers of The Athletic, who covers the Chicago Blackhawks, who look to finish off the Edmonton Oilers tomorrow evening. Next up, Joe Cowley is going to continue ruining my life. If you enjoy my plaintive wails and moans and gnashing of teeth as he provides uncomfortable Bulls information, he's got a story out that he's going to talk about, and I can't believe this world in which we're living. 2020 just will not stop, but Joe Cowley is going to make us all miserable next on The Score.
That's the growth play.
Blackhawks win. They take game 3 over the Oilers in this epic 5-game play-in series. They're now up 2-1. Keep it on The Score as we recap the win and get you ready for game 4, where they could take the series right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
This is the sound of a blizzard treat at DQ, but it also sounds like a weekend bike ride, a post-game celebration, and a sunset on the dock. Wow, doesn't a blizzard treat sound good? Stop by DQ and grab one today, like new Oreo fudge brownie. Thanks for being the sweetest fans in the world. DQ, happy tastes good.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's employee of the month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It all starts with just one thing. New innovations are happening all the time with recycled products. One company in Uganda has started recycling plastic bottles into protective face shields for use in hospitals. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Thanks for streaming The Score.
Chicago's original and number one sports station. And of course, your official radio home of Cubs baseball.
Where you'll hear me, Pat Hughes,
and Ron Coomer deliver all the excitement and action of every Cubs game.
Base hit, Cubs win. Base hit into right center field. Back toward the wall, near the fence. It's got a chance. Cubs win. It landed in the basket. What a finish.
Listen to every Cubs game on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Chicago's official radio home of the Cubs.
A radio.com sports station.
Does someone in your family have a drug or alcohol problem? Can you see what it's doing to you? If you're hurting and confused about drug or alcohol abuse and its effects on your family, let Families Anonymous help you. Families Anonymous offers direct help to family and friends of addicts through personal sharing. Meetings are free, not associated with any religion, and totally anonymous. For the meeting nearest you or more information, call 800-736-9805 or go to familiesanonymous.org.
Things are opening up and the roads are slowing down. Remember the quickest way to stay informed. WBBM Traffic and Weather together on the 8s. Exclusively on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Chicago's weather station.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon.
Vincent Goodwill.
One thing I'll say about Michael Reinsdorf is this, and I firmly believe this. He has a famous last name, but is a pretty anonymous person throughout all of this. But he's very sensitive to the success of the franchise. I truly believe he wants to win. And I think he has a chance here to make a name for himself, to step outside of Jerry Reinsdorf's shadow while Jerry is still here and making the final decisions. That's a very tricky process. And I don't think that we can all appreciate the fine line that he has to walk, that he's trying to walk here. And making a decision like this means you have to have a bunch of people on board and behind you. And whether it works or not, I think just the fact that he's willing to go through a top-down overhauling of basketball operations says a lot about his desire to want to get this thing right.
Dan Bernstein, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score, our radio.com sports station.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
Ed Howard, the first round pick of the Cubs, how difficult was it for you to not be playing baseball in your last season at Mount Carmel?
Yeah, it was very difficult. You know, my senior year, I was planning on winning the state championship. You know, that was my main goal. I wanted to go out with a ring. And unfortunately, we didn't get the opportunity. And then also, I was excited to kind of show, you know, improvements I made. You know, I think I changed a lot from over the summer, physically and mentally. And I was just kind of ready to go out there and play my game and show a lot of teams, you know, the improvements I made, but you know, I didn't get the opportunity to do so. But you know, it all played out the right way. You know, I'm excited to be a part of the Cubs, and it's gonna be a great journey.
What were you doing to keep sharp and improve?
I had a gym in my basement, and I was getting on Zoom and working out every morning with my trainer at 9 a.m. And then in the evenings, I would go out to the field and, you know, take ground balls, take BP, long toss. So I was pretty much getting my work in every day.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Score on your mobile device, your laptop, your desktop, whatever you stream us on. We've got Chicago sports fans covered. The Score is Chicago's first and number one sports talk station. We're live from Chicago and dedicated to the Chicago sports fan. It's what's driven us for over 25 years now. But we couldn't have done it without you, the loyal Score listener. Thanks for listening to Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Napa know-how.
At Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, get a $25 prepaid Visa card when you get any Napa automotive battery. It's the best deal for some of the best batteries from some of the best car people around. But we might be a little partial. Anywho, pick up any Napa automotive battery and save $25. Do it yourself or have it done for you. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, while supplies last, offer ends 8/31/20.
And now a game of Commercial Chicken, brought to you by Progressive, where we see how long Flo can go without talking about insurance. Ready? Go.
Hi! Guess we should talk about something. How's the, vermicelli game in your town? Got any good Vietnamese restaurants? Vermicelli? Oh, it's a noodle? Very good. Drivers who switch to Progressive can save big!
Okay, you win. We can't help but save customers money. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
You're listening to The Dan Bernstein Show. Back in 60 seconds on The Score.
Radio.com has everything you need to stay informed and keep you entertained at home, at work, or on the go. Hear what's going on in your community and the nation with local and national news from CNN, Fox News, and more. Need a break? Radio.com has hundreds of music, sports, and talk stations to keep you going through your day. Love podcasts? Radio.com has thousands of true crime, documentary, comedy podcasts, and more. Listen at Radio.com, the Radio.com app, or your favorite smart speakers and connected devices.
New home ownership can be a real eye-opener, but it's the perfect time to look into Homeowner 101 from The Home Depot. Free live streaming workshops taught by expert associates, now at homedepot.com/workshops. You'll find indoor and outdoor workshops, even home systems workshops. Plus, you'll get the know-how you need to care for your biggest investment. Master the basics at Homeowner 101, only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Register now at homedepot.com/workshops.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This relationship is the most important relationship probably in organizations, that, you know, your coach, you know, who's, you know, leading your team. And I, you know, already spoke to Jim numerous times, and we're going to get on Zoom calls, and we're going to look at a lot of video, look at offense, defense, defensive schemes, you know. And, you know, so we'll have time to do so.
And then you will make a decision, or has the decision already been made?
So, I mean, so far there's no decision to be made. I mean, there's just evaluation period that, you know, how we have done things in the past. So right now, you know, everything is going as it is. And like I said, you know, we're gonna sit down with everybody. We're gonna look at all the departments and, you know, move forward with that.
That was Arturis Karnišovas eons ago. Eons. That was back in April when we were confident that the Bulls had hired an executive vice president with control and enough power to actually get the coach he wants. That's apparently not the case. And this is... This is the, I don't know what we call Joe Cowley these days, because every time I click on anything he writes, I want to blow my brains out. He is the Galactus, the eater of worlds. He is Shiva, the god of death, the grim reaper, whatever you want to call him. He's at J. Cowley Hoops on Twitter. He's on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Dude, really? Is this, we're really here? This headline, financial concerns will keep Jim Boylan as Bulls head coach. What do I have to do?
You know, I listen to you and you sound so happy and stuff when you first get on, and then all of a sudden I tweet something, you turn into Eeyore. I guess.
You're killing me.
I guess that's my tale. yeah, I mean, you know, it's the last couple of weeks there's just been more and more momentum and talking to people around the organization that, because of the financial concerns and because of the growing concerns of the plan that the NBA is going to use, which is, you know, again, this is all so fluid, but the March one seems to be the last of the four scenarios. And that would be the one that, you know, Bulls fans would probably like to see happen, because that gives them time, and that means butts are in the seats, and that means they have more of a voice in this and can, you know, there's just more finances coming to the organization. But if the December plan goes through, like it sounds like it's going to, I mean, what is, in Jerry Reinsdorf's world, why? I mean, there's no fans to boo. There's no empty seats to count. And I've been told this from people within the organization. There has been no furloughs. There have been no layoffs. There have been none of that going on. But everything's, you know, everything is up in the air once the NBA announces what 2021 looks like in the next couple months.
But if I'm Arturis Karnišovas and I have these grand plans and I get to hire a general manager who says all the right things about players first and culture, and
right,
then they actually talk to the players and the players say, get rid of this idiot. And they say, well, okay. And now how do they go back to the players and say, don't look at us. We weren't allowed to. We didn't have the power to get rid of him. Here's your guy again. Go punch a clock.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of does turn him into eunuchs, doesn't it? I mean, it's, you know, it really just kind of strips them down and says, okay, we had all these great plans. And look, here's the other thing, too, that people have to realize. They weren't done building out this front office in many ways. I mean, they really wanted to expand on this front office. And all of a sudden, I think the writing's on the wall when they can't do that. Now, obviously, there's some people employed that are still in season that they might want to steal for front office jobs and front office duties. But I don't think Arturas and Mark Eversley came in wanting to keep, you know, your Hagans and your Weinmans. You know, they at least wanted the chance to evaluate them. But when your Zoom calls still have those type of guys and that presence from the old regime, I don't think that was the plan. I just think financially the build-out that they wanted, which was going to be vast, and that was not smoke. Michael Reinsdorf opened it. Arturas was not cheap. Mark Eversley was not cheap. So to get them over here was not a cheap proposition. This was not originally done to say, okay, we're only going to get these two here, and then we're cutting the finances down. That wasn't the plan. They knew they were going to have to spend money to get a front office, a modern-day front office, in place, and they knew they needed to expand not only the new phases but the departments themselves. I mean, you heard Mark Eversley. He was shocked that there was only one clerk. Was, you know, what most organizations have 3 to 4 to 5, depending on the organization. To have one in place is just, you know, ridiculous in these days. So, you know, the fact that the front office came and expand like it wanted to, and the players are locked in. You look at the cap and the situation with everyone, you know, all the players. There's just, it's going to be same old next year. And to your point, will it piss off the players? Yeah, but guess what? This might be a whole different looking team come the 21 free agent class. I mean, okay, Zach, okay, you're going to be ticked. Otto Porter, you're going to be ticked. Thad Young, all those guys are gone or could be gone if they move off of Levine. But Otto Porter's gone. Guys like that are gone. So I don't think they're worried about rocking the player boat.
It's a $3 billion team. They have been raking in revenue, yep, hand over fist. They have been at 105% of capacity. They have been just printing money. And now I just want to know, like, are you in the basketball business or are you not? Are you competing or are you not? Everyone in basketball knows you need a new coach. Your players are telling you to get a new coach. You've got a new executive VP who's saying that he needs a vastly rebuilt front office. Why do they all of a sudden get out of the basketball business just because of revenue that's somewhere in the millions when the franchise value's in the billions?
Well, I mean, you've been here forever. When's the last time Jerry Reinsdorf made a move based on public opinion or based on what everyone was screaming in his direction? I mean, he's a bottom line guy. At the end of the day, it's the basketball business, but the key word is it's a business. And it, you know, I mean, that's always how he treated the Bulls. I mean, it's a business. It's not the passion. It's not the love he has with the White Sox. It's a business. And when has he made a decision because of pressure from fans, pressure from media, the obvious? I mean, there's been so many things that were
I would phrase it differently. I would phrase it differently. I don't think it's being that it's because of it's not pressure from, it's truth. It's what really should be done. It's what most basketball people understand. And just because it's prevailing opinion, it doesn't mean it's being driven by media. I think it's media reporting on what other basketball people are saying about and what his own players are saying.
Yeah,
and
that's
then they
the
say,
thing.
And that, they that, say player the centric. You know, they bring these guys in. They say it's going to be about the culture and the forward face of the business toward the most important asset in the NBA, which is the players. And once those texts start, and once you fall into a place in that conversation, your business is shot.
And the other thing too that is concerning is we know how these players talk. And there was so much goodwill and feeling around the league when these guys were hired on this front office and they were brought in and the players instantly. I mean, you could tell just in talking to guys, they felt like it was a new Bulls regime, a new day for the Bulls. You're not walking this back a step or two. This totally just handcuffs the thoughts that the outside organizations, outside players, potential free agents, potential other coaches have towards the Bulls that seem to be going in the right direction for the first time in years and years. And, you know, and to say it's finances, it's a tough sell. But I don't think Jerry really cares about what's a tough sell and what it looks like. And he never has. That stuff just doesn't make him blink, whether you want to phrase it as truth or screaming in your face or fan pressure or whatever. He doesn't blink with that. Look at some of the decisions made on both sides of town, as unpopular as they've been. He just doesn't really – that kind of stuff doesn't faze him.
Okay, well, if that doesn't faze him, the emasculation of his new executive VP should. That when you undermine somebody, when you go out of your way to have such a deliberate and well-considered and celebrated hire, you don't get these chances for John Paxson to say, you know, it's time for me to not run this anymore. What was the point of any of it? Why bother? You bring this guy in with great fanfare. It's a really good hire. Everybody likes it. Everyone loves the Eversley hire. We hear about how they're finally moving into basketball modernity, and now you pee it all down your leg over $1 million? What are you doing?
Yeah, and the thing is, I've written about the money. It's not going to cost you that much money to bring a first-year coach in anymore. It's just not. The days of Kerr and Hoiberg walking in for $5 million a year that first year in the building, it doesn't happen. You're not giving four for 20 or five for 25. You're not. You don't have to. You can give 2.5 for 3 years. So that's the thing that really just I can't get over is, okay, you got to eat dead money and you got to pay 2.5. So you're paying 4.1 million deck right now, if you made the change right now, to get a coach, to get a new offensive philosophy, to get a voice that maybe the players flock to and appreciate more in the building now with who knows how much time off to start implementing this stuff, to start developing players. And you can do that right now for $4.1 million, and you're going to walk back from that while teams are paying Doc Rivers $10 million and Popovich $11 million, and then you're going to sell it as, look at the new direction we're going. We're modern NBA. And you can even complete the front office financially. It's not done. And if everything's on lockdown because of your concerns with the coronavirus, you know, to me, you're just kind of in the wrong business. You're not operating it like it should. You know, I don't tell billionaires how to spend their money. That's not what this is about. But what is unfair in this is the deliberate slap in the face, ignoring what Bulls fans have been screaming about for 20-some years, 30-some years, is why can't we get back to the greatness that we deserve to be back to? Why can't we put a seventh banner up? Why can't we at least move in that direction to get a seventh banner? It just seems there's just been so many clown cars hitting each other that you don't even believe. I mean, look at all the doubts that people had. Oh, this is going to be a new front office. I was still getting pushback from people, and I was believing it. I was saying, no, times have changed. The money's there. They're spending the money. I know what it cost to get these guys. It was expensive. And to walk all that back, you know, I don't know how they recover, because it's just easy for free agents and for outside people to say same old when it comes to the Bulls, and it seems like we're at that again.
I allowed myself to get really excited, and it just
I think everyone did, and rightfully so. You know, I mean, rightfully so. I mean, you can't be wrong for that, because league-wide, it was applauded on every level. And even outside people were surprised that the Bulls actually pulled off something when so much negativity was going around the league because of the shutdown and because of the uncertainty. The Bulls were kind of the one shining beacon in the ocean of doom, getting stuff done and doing it right. I mean, Michael was applauded for the way he took time to bring the people in. The list of names he brought in were all applauded. And to settle on Karsovich was applauded. And then it just seems like they just can't get out of their own way, and all the good graces that were built are suddenly going to just be spit on for $4.1 million of a business that's $3.2 billion. I mean, that's just a hard sell and hard for people to swallow, but that's the reality that's being talked about coming out of that organization right now.
I hope something changes. I really do. We can't continue to live like this. And you are the destroyer of worlds, the black plague. Joe Cowley. It's every time I click on something, I want to throw up, even though I love you.
I'm going to try writing something. I got a Madden review coming out in a couple of weeks. Okay. That might make you happy.
All right, that might make me feel a little bit better.
Okay, but, I'll send it to you first.
Keep doing what you're doing, Joe. Thank you, as always.
I'll talk to you, Dan.
Joe Cowley, Chicago Sun-Times. Oh, God. Life isn't worth living anymore, I don't think. I don't know. I'm just going to turn the lights off, and I'm just going to sit here. I think I'm going to shut off this little radio codec. I'm going to close my laptop, and I'm just going to rock myself to sleep. Maybe find a bottle of tequila somewhere and just contemplate my future. Guy makes $1.6 million, and all the players hate him. And he doesn't really know how to coach, but they're keeping him, even though they hired people to get rid of him, and they hired people to run the basketball business, and then they're not letting him do it.
I don't like him a lot, but he okay.
No, he not right. Okay. No, he's not all right. He's not okay, Daniel Gafford. No. All right, fine. Matt Spiegel is an upbeat presence. Maybe he can help. He'll join us next on The Score.
Do you like Jim Boylan?
We are Chicago's number one sports station. Chicago guys talking Chicago sports. Listen on your radio, your laptop, your mobile device, through the radio.com app, or tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score, our radio.com sports station.
If you are purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender. Today, meet Sven, 65, living in a $400,000 home. And after hearing thousands of Team Hochberg's ads, Sven, naturally, contacted three lenders to refinance his 6% mortgage and pay off credit card debt totaling $75,000, but nobody helped him. Sven then called Team Hochberg, which he should have done in the first place, because Team Hochberg helped Sven cash out $85,000, paid off his credit cards, and saved him over $3,500 a month. Let's review. Before calling Team Hochberg, three lenders rejected Sven. After calling Team Hochberg, Sven paid off his debt. He is saving over $40,000 a year. And if you would like to use your home's equity to eliminate debt like Sven, reduce your rate, or shorten your loan term, call Team Hochberg now at 312-855-56David or visit 56David.com. Team Hochberg has helped thousands of Score listeners, but they can't help if you don't call 855-56David or visit 56David.com. Homeside Financial, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 1124061.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon.
Vincent Goodwill.
One thing I'll say about Michael Reinsdorf is this, and I firmly believe this. He has a famous last name, but is a pretty anonymous person throughout all of this. But he's very sensitive to the success of the franchise. I truly believe he wants to win. And I think he has a chance here to make a name for himself, to step outside of Jerry Reinsdorf's shadow while Jerry is still here and making the final decisions. That's a very tricky process, and I don't think that we can all appreciate the fine line that he has to walk, that he's trying to walk here. And making a decision like this means you have to have a bunch of people on board and behind you. And whether it works or not, I think just the fact that he's willing to go through a top-down overhauling of basketball operations says a lot about his desire to want to get this thing right.
Dan Bernstein, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
This is the sound of a blizzard treat at DQ, but it also sounds like a weekend bike ride, a post-game celebration, and a sunset on the dock. Wow, doesn't a blizzard treat sound good? Stop by DQ and grab one today, like new Oreo fudge brownie. Thanks for being the sweetest fans in the world. DQ, happy tastes good.
Right now, you're streaming The Score.
Chicago's original and number one sports station. And, of course, the official radio home of the Chicago Cubs.
Hey, Cubs fans, Pat Hughes here.
And Ron Coomer.
670 The Score is where you want to be to hear every exciting play of Cubs baseball.
We'll deliver all the excitement and action of every Cubs game.
The pitch to Anthony. Swung on, deep right field. Cubs are going to win the ball game. Rizzo drives one in the air to deep right field. This ball's got a chance. that's gone!
3-2 wrapped on the ground left side. Baez gloves it, spins, throws, gets him. Baez drives one in the air. Deep left field. It's got a chance! Javi Baez with a game-winning home run.
A line drive rocket on a hanging breaking ball by Baez.
And when the Cubs aren't playing, you can count on the Score team to bring you the hottest Cubs talk anywhere.
Listen to every Cubs game right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Chicago's official radio home of the Cubs.
A radio.com sports station.
Yeah, we're all busy with important things to do. But don't forget, it's also important to laugh. Laughing keeps you sane. So for your sanity's sake, check out Comedy Now on radio.com.
After college, I moved into my own apartment. It's near where my parents live. It's across the hallway.
Comedy Now plays nonstop stand-up comedy from the best comedians in America.
I'll tell you what place I like on the plane is that little bathroom. It's like your own little apartment on the plane.
Listen to Comedy Now anytime on radio.com, on your desktop, smart speakers, or the free radio.com app.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
Charles Peanut Tillman.
I know a ton of law enforcement officers, a ton, not a few, I know a ton, that do their job and they do it the right way. And a lot of them are federal, a lot of them are local, some of them are state. They do their job the right way. And I'm not saying that all police and that, no, I'm not, that is not what I'm saying. I'm just saying the ones that I've had a chance to be around and I know, they do their job the right way. And I'm very grateful for that. I'm grateful for them and for what they do and for them risking their necks, keeping me safe at night. I'm very grateful for them and for what they have done.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com on radio.com sports station. Dan Bernstein will be back in 60 seconds on 670 The Score.
To take this station with you wherever you go, download the radio.com app today and listen to this station and over 300 other stations. With the radio.com app, you can favorite your top stations for easy access and receive alerts with breaking news, contest opportunities, and more. To favorite a station, just click on the heart icon in the upper left-hand corner of your favorite station's logo. Go to your app store or radio.com/download and start listening today. Radio.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
A ball and two strikes on Gordon. Royals down to their last strike. Ray delivers. Swing and a miss. Strike three, and the Cubs have won six in a row. Colin Ray strikes out Alex Gordon. The Cubs beat the Royals by a score of 6-1 as the seven-game road trip begins on a very positive note.
Baseball.
Cubs beat everybody because they're playing a very complete, complimentary, and satisfying brand of baseball right now. It's like they flipped some kind of switch. This segment is brought to you by Grand Appliance and TV. Now through August 12th, get extra savings of up to $500 on top of the area's guaranteed lowest appliance prices exclusively at Grand Appliance. Shop in-store or at grandappliance.com to save today. Grand Appliance, trusted in Chicagoland since 1930. I need good vibes, babe, because Joe Cowley has me wanting to microwave my head after telling me that Jim Boylan is staying and why he's staying. So let's actually look at all this good baseball stuff that we have going on. Matt Spiegel is on Twitter at MattSpiegel670. He's on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. What's good in your world, Spiegs?
Oh, Bernsie, baseball. Two interesting, compelling teams in year one of a legit crosstown World Series window where both are hopefully going to be good for a little while. And the starts have been really, really fun. And with the Cubs, what is your definition of the switch? What do you think it is? It interests me because I know how much data and data there is. And I've heard you doing some today, but it's an abstract switch, isn't it, with these Cubs? I mean, is there any, and this is a year where you have to kind of give in the small sample and realize that stuff is incredibly powerful in this little season like that.
This is the year of the unquantifiable. This is the year where you just got to sit back and let things happen. However, it's what's happened, whatever the switch is, it is what Theo Epstein, after the last two seasons have ended, has been telling us, has been screaming at us about what this team hasn't been or hasn't had,
mm-hmm.
and about urgency, and about the, he keeps firing assistant coaches. He keeps adding a hitting instructor and a pitching instructor. He wants more voices. He wants different energy in there. And he believes in it. He's said it. And now with David Ross,
that's got the guy.
He's got it. Is it causal? Is it coincidental? Or is it finally, something has reached a threshold where Theo has tinkered enough with his dissatisfaction to actually set something in motion, actually catalyze like a chemical reaction?
Well, you've got a combination of factors after Ross. Principally, it is Ross. They've been looking for him since he left. They've been looking for what he brings since he left. And I knew the energy and the focus that he would bring, and I was telling people all off season, the constant mindfulness as you see them grind with every pitch and every at-bat. We knew that was coming. What I wasn't sure about, and I think some people weren't sure about, and they would phrase it as, how's he going to manage his friends and stuff like that, was his comfort with the discomfort of honesty. Look at how he's handling Kimbrel. When he went out to get him the other night...
Give me the ball. Give me the ball and get your ass out of here.
He put him in there in a save situation and wouldn't let him finish. And the look on Kimbrel's face was embarrassment. It was humility. And then he had to stand there in the dugout and watch Kyle Ryan hang on and get it done. And yesterday, when asked to talk about it, nothing but praise from Kimbrel, because Ross is just honest with him about it. It takes stones to deal with your guy like that and navigate the public part of it, and maybe have a moment where you sound ridiculous like you did over the weekend. Is Craig still the closer? Let me get back to you on that. He's navigating it. The answer was no, but he wanted to talk to Craig about it first. So he's got a discomfort with the honesty that you need, and that goes along with the energy and the focus. And then what you're talking about, the mix, these guys have been shamed by the last couple years. They've been humiliated. And now they have that, whatever portion is real for them of that last dance feel, of that vibe that it's going to end, that's all mixed in there. And it leads them to this combination led by Ross, leads them to be able to do the job. That is every moment being locked in on every pitch from the get-go and just never letting down. And it's happening for the offense, without a doubt. And then some of the pitchers have done amazing things. What Tyler Chatwood has done with his transformation is really quite real and quite quantifiable, with the movement on that cut fastball and what it allows him to do. His friendship going back years since high school with Kyle Hendricks, and them working out together very specifically during this shutdown. You see some Hendricks influence on Chatwood. Look how he's throwing balls that go both ways, and he's working all four quadrants of the plate with better stuff than Hendricks, you know? So there's some really, really good trends with this team other than the pesky closer position, which is Rowan Wicks right now for a while.
It's also the way that the pitching staff works with a revitalized defense. When you're leading the league in low exit velocity against, when you're leading the league in defensive runs saved, when you are fourth in Fangraph's soft contact induced, it's chicken and the egg, but it all works together. When you have fewer guys on base, you have pitchers working faster, you have more attentive fielders, and everything starts to get in a positive feedback loop that's mm-hmm. occurring here. That's why I'm talking about the different, when I say a switch has been flipped, last 2 years, there's been, I said I could spiegelize the term here with the portmanteau of Cubstipation, that every game has felt like these number of chances that they don't cash in on, and it's just when are they going to get a hit with runners in scoring position? When are they going to pick up a ball when you really need to pick up a ball and turn a double play?
They're doing
and
it
it's
now.
It's the opposite of that now. It's the opposite, that they've taken everything that got negative and sort of painful and attenuated, and now they're out on top of it, and it really is satisfying.
And that attentiveness is on defense too. Bryant has been outstanding when he's been at third. Bodie, something has lit a fire under Bodie. I know he got paid and then he was underwhelming and lost his job and lost his time last year, and has come out with some fire, third on the depth chart at second base, and then forcing his way into the lineup now. But those guys are attentive and on it for every single batted ball. And you see Yeah, you see the anecdotal moments that dovetail with those numbers on defense, whether it's Bryant diving to his right twice, including to end the game the other night, or Bodie timing it well so the back foot is on the base for that kind of unassisted double play. It wasn't unassisted, but you know what I mean, the 4-3 double play yesterday. And are they that locked in when it comes to the pitching? I asked Ron Coomer that on Sunday morning, and he said, yes, the pitchers are locked in, the defense is locked in, the dugout is locked in, watching each guy do his thing. I know it's a moment where Darvish should dominate O'Hearn last night in that must-get-a-strikeout situation there in the seventh, but he did. How many times have we seen him not do that?
Yep, and he's not walking people.
No, he's not walking people, and he's not letting the moment be too much for him. He's not throwing this kind of rushed, flat fastball that gets hittable. He's still throwing it, the four-seamer with that great spin on it. And just to see him, you know, close a moment like that when it was very much in doubt in a one-run game as opposed to the big cushion it finished with was very satisfying.
And then we flip around every night, and then I can continue to man-crush on Luis Robert. I'm completely smitten.
As you should be. You remember what it was like, and a lot of people got reacquainted with in the Last Dance documentary. To watch Jordan do anything was aesthetically pleasing. To watch him walk, to watch him, you know, get into his car, whatever, just athletically, it's a different kind of human. And that's what Robert is. To watch him do anything is pleasing in that way.
And real quick, do you also feel like I do that because that the NHL bubble is holding, because the NBA bubble is holding, and because baseball survived the train nearly falling off the tracks with the Marlins and with the Cardinals, that sports feels, I don't know, kind of solid?
Well, that mixed with the MLB owner's relentlessness and incapacity for shame, they're going to get through this baseball season. They're going to fight their way through and get it in. And the bubbles are going to be more successful. I have no idea what's going to happen with football, which faces more challenges than baseball. But yeah, baseball is going to get it done. Bring it on. They don't. They fear nothing at this
and
point.
Guess who's 2-under through 4 in the PGA?
Bryson DeChambeau.
Tiger Woods.
Okay, there you go.
Gonna have ourselves a weekend. Matt Spiegel, thank you. Good health, man.
All right, man. Sunday morning on Hit and Run, lots of time for Cubs and Sox conversation.
Everybody's there for it. These are two exciting and compelling baseball teams we have in our city. Thanks to Matt Spiegel. I do not thank Joe Cowley because he is the Grim Reaper. He steals my soul every time that he's on with information. So no thanks to Joe Cowley at all. Thanks to Scott Powers, to Shalice Monson-Young for joining us, and to Ian Happ, who was delightful, as he always is. Thanks to Jay Zawoski. Thanks to Ray Diaz, the executioner. Thanks to Brian Gertz for having our Twitch feed. If you're not doing that, you got to be twitching with us as well, like I do when Joe Cowley tells us Jim Boylan is staying.
Do you like Jim Boylan?
Yeah. Well, keep with our best practices. Mask up and try to stay away from people as best you can. And wash your hands. Listen to doctors. Listen to people. Listen to doctors. We have Lawrence Holmes, who is headed your way next. He's got Jay Zawoski joining him. Big get at 12:25. Gabby Williams of the Chicago Sky is going to join him at 1:25. And I'll be back tomorrow, and we'll celebrate a fun, happy Friday, I hope, by not having Joe Cowley on. That's tomorrow at 9. Bye.
Start your day with Chicago's Sports Morning Show. Mulligan Hall, live at 5. Covering the stories that matter to Chicago sports fans. Bears, Cubs, Sox, Bulls, Blackhawks. They're live and they're local. Mulligan Hall, mornings 5 to 9. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score. A radio.com sports station.
Hey, it's Jay Zawoski. Sports are back. Baseball, basketball, hockey, and the PGA Championship this weekend. Time to bet all the action on America's number one sportsbook, FanDuel Sportsbook. You're out there. You're looking for a better way to bet. Well, you should go to FanDuel Sportsbook. More ways to win. If you can dream it, you can probably bet it through FanDuel Sportsbook. They offer spreads, parlays, money lines, overs, unders, props, and in-game bets, all in an easy-to-use app. And unlike other sportsbooks, FanDuel accepts most major payment options, and when you win, you can receive your winnings in your bank account in as little as 48 hours through FanDuel's safe and secure process. By combining your sportsbook account with your fantasy account, you have the ability to use your winnings across both products too. So check out the FanDuel Sportsbook app. FanDuel, more ways to win. Must be 21 plus. Location and other restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT or 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to Nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
Ed Howard, the first round pick of the Cubs, how difficult was it for you to not be playing baseball in your last season at Mount Carmel?
Yeah, it was very difficult. You know, my senior year, I was planning on winning.